I was told I could speak as long as I wished. So I thought we would have, if you don't mind, a half-hour conference. Is that all right, Mother? Given the season in which we are now celebrating Christ's coming into the world as man, his birth, his presentation, it seems we should reflect on one of the remarkable features surrounding the life of Christ from the very beginning. Christ was a sign of contradiction. The subject of our conference, therefore, is Christ, the sign of contradiction. Christianity is filled with mysteries, which means truth that God has revealed, but that we can only dimly understand. Surely one of these mysteries is the fact that when Christ came into the world, he was in large measure rejected by his own people and finally condemned to die on the cross. And in God's providence, the opposition to Christ began almost as soon as he was born. In the present conference, I wish to do the following. First, see the fact of Christ's rejection during his visible stay on earth. Second, hear the promises and warnings that he gave that his followers would have the same experience. And third, draw some practical and sobering conclusions for our spiritual life. Fact, promise, and conclusions. What's the fact? No sooner did Christ come into the world than Herod tried to kill Jesus, and the flight into Egypt was necessary. When he reached his years of maturity, no sooner did Christ speak in the synagogue in his native town of Nazareth, and the Nazarenes try to kill him. Then all through his public ministry, it was one opposition to Christ after another. Scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, all contradicted him, argued with him, in so many ways tried to trip him up and did everything in their power to keep the people from following him. When he told the Jews, "The Father and I are one," what happened? That's all they have to say. The Jews picked up stones, ready to stone him. After he raised Lazarus from the dead, that was the last straw. Christ's passion soon followed. The Jews said, "This is intolerable. Look, he raises a dead man back to life, and everybody now is going to follow him." Soon after, Christ was betrayed, seized, and his passion, way of the cross, and death followed in rapid sequence. A summary observation. Any other estimate of Christ's life on earth, except the one I've just painted to you, is make-believe. Jesus was persecuted, hated, and finally crucified. Yet his friends, thank God, that's why we're here. But he sure had his constant and the majority of his enemies. In 2,000 years, there have been two Christs painted to the world. The two Christs, the sign of contradiction, and the pseudo-Christ. Who was nice to everybody, and everybody was nice to him. Part 2. The promise. Equally sobering is the fact that Christ's being the sign of contradiction in his own person is the fact that he foretold the same fate would befall his followers. I didn't quite use this language 20-30 years ago. Oh, I knew all that I'm saying, but I haven't had the experience. My friends, what they did to Christ, they do to his true, get the adjective, his true followers. Time and again, Christ predicted that a servant is not greater than his master. So we hear or read those words and turn the page. What they have done to me, they will also do to you. And they did plenty to Jesus. The eighth beatitude could not be plainer. It foretells that people, these are Christ's words, will abuse you and persecute you and speak all kinds of calumny against you on my account. Unquote. What a different world this would be if only every follower of Christ really believed this. Christ foretold, he will be dragged before the Sanhedrin, before kings and princes, for my sake. And the hardest promise we usually think of promises as something attractive and pleasant. I don't like to call it a warning, because we're supposed to like this. Christ foretold, your worst enemies will be those of your own household. Unquote, the Master. My useless arguing with a mother with six children was just sick and tired of keeping house and wanted out. Poor Mike, her husband, helpless. A call last night from another state. A religious woman in a secularized community. And I've made sure I haven't publicly identified the mother house. But two suicides in one mother house in one summer. Oh, the letters I could read and quote, written in blood. Calumny, abuse, persecution from those of your own household. Surely, if the Holy Trinity is a mystery, and it is, if the Incarnation is a mystery, and it is, if the real presence is a mystery, and it is, where do you begin to fathom the reason why people who just want, that's all they want, to follow in the footsteps of Christ, be faithful to Him in every state of life? Why do they meet infallibly opposition? History verifies that Christ's prediction has been fulfilled down to the smallest detail. In the Apostolic Church, look what the Church does. Of all the feasts to have celebrated on the day after Christ's birth, come. Christmas Day is the day of great rejoicing. A child is born to you, who is Christ the Lord. I bring you good tidings of great joy. we have to look again. And the 26th of December is the feast of the first martyr. And the 28th is the feast of the Holy Innocents. What the church is trying to do, and I'm helping the process, is to wake us up. Sure, there is joy. But, my friends, joy in the midst of, I don't even want to say in spite of, I almost dare say because of the opposition. Oh, then, if you had any doubts whether you're really following Christ, ask yourself, does anybody oppose me? Stephen was stoned to death. James was killed by Herod. Peter and Paul were cruelly put to death. And a first century inscription on the wall in the Roman Empire has this carved. It's still there. Eradicate the Christians. And you read the New York Times day after day, the Washington Post day after day. And it sounds familiar. And not a day passes when the most powerful media in our country are not somehow attacking the Catholic Church. Now the lesson. It is remarkable how we can forget these solitary truths about the experience that Christ had in his day and the experience we should expect in our day. The following is a hard saying. Every true follower of Jesus Christ will be persecuted. Amen. The persecution may take virulent forms, as in communist countries. They're most of my blood relatives. Are suffering for the faith. Or it may take more subtle, but no less hostile forms, as in our country. You read the Chicago Tribune day after day, you'd never dream that the Archdiocese of Chicago has 2 million Catholics. It's as though there were 2 million worms in the ground. Zero recognition. when, as I do on occasion, speak with bishops, how well I know and how well they know how the more faithful they wish to remain to the teachings of Christ and of His vicar on earth, the more they're going to pay. Said this before, say it again. When I told Cardinal O'Connor what we need in the United States is more St. John Fishers, you are right. What I really believe, he told me, that I would prefer to be executed once and for all is this day after day martyrdom that is so hard to take. Priests, diocese unnamed. I know him. Young man, zealous, pious. Gave a homily recently on the sin of contraception. There was an outcry. Commission went to the pastor. Such abusive language, they said, we've never heard from the pulpit. Abusive language. I know the man. He was removed from the parish, and God knows what his future will be. When I was in studies in theology, our professor of moral theology told us, never be afraid to speak up and on Sunday morning tell the people the truth. Then he added, you know, most of us will just be helping out at a parish. You'll be a visiting priest. They don't call you back. You can go somewhere else. With how many parish audiences I thought of that as I told them what I knew they needed to be told. Nobody going to confession on Saturday. Everybody going to communion on Sunday. And notorious scandals in the parish. Religious, no question, suffering real martyrdom in secularized religious institutes. Lay people who want to have children want their children to receive a truly Catholic education. The pathetic letters that I receive would make the angels weep. For years I've been hearing the confessions of children. Well, they're growing up now because I've been doing it for 10 years. They couldn't make their first confession before First Communion. And they've been coming for confession to their regular confessor ever since. Why? That's the question. because the world does not want to be told or shown the truth. The truth of the faith in Christ's divinity, that man born of Mary is God. The truth of chastity, that deliberate sexual experience outside of marriage is a grave sin. Chastity in marriage, fidelity in marriage. The world does not want to be told about charity and patience in an age when power and self-assertion are canonized. Let's close with a short prayer. Lord Jesus, keep us faithful in following you, even when others ignore us, oppose us for serving you. Let us not be afraid of criticism or rejection or even persecution for your name. Make us worthy to walk in the footsteps of your great martyrs who shed their blood because of their loyalty to you. Help us at least to live the life of martyrs. We will not have the privilege of dying as martyrs for you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.